are in southern Mississippi on July 6, 2019. Today is the 25th anniversary of the release of Forrest Gump, and I'm here with Kevin Mangan, who had a part in the movie, and he did a lot of other things on the set. And Kevin, reminisce about that movie.
Well, it was just... It was a cool project to work on. It was kind of weird because the whole storyline was like Forrest Gump. And I mean, this kid that couldn't talk right and everything, but it was almost so weird that everybody had this good vibe that the thing was going to do something. I mean, the whole crew was like, wow, what a weird movie. And the director was all behind it. Bobby Z was like, I mean, there was issues about overages on filming and stuff like that, but Bob was like, he was adamant about wanting to film the thing the way he wanted to film it, and you know, he wanted the suits, as we call them, to back off and let him just do it. And it's a good thing they did, because him and Hank put their heads together and they said, let's do this thing. And it just turned out phenomenal. Everything, the crew was into it.
It was what parts were you involved with? What locations did you work on in the film?
All the Vietnam stuff, which is on Fripp Island in South Carolina. Danny Andreco was the key greensman at the time, and myself and Dan Galuli were the standby and construction greensman, and we built Vietnam on Fripp Island. That's where all the napalm explosion happened, and where the forest caught the shrapnel in his butt. That's where that happened, and we shot all the extraction scenes where he was pulling the guys out of the jungle on Huntington Island, which is right up the street. And we were allowed to have free rein at the time because they were turning the whole place into a golf course. And we were instructed we just can't destroy these trees and that tree, but I mean, we had all that ambush scene where they initially get ambushed. That was a clearing in the jungle. We put all that stuff in there. We brought the palm trees in. We brought the tropicals, the big banana plants up from Florida. And Daniel Draco masterminded that end of it. And we irrigated it. We had a local farmer that planted the soybean crop where they actually get ambushed. But it was...
How long were you all on that set? How long were you personally there working?
Oh, we were there 3 months. Yeah, we were there 3 months. We had a couple months of prep, and then a month and a half of shooting, and then we went took some of it back to L.A. and stuff like that. But and then we went to D.C. We were in Washington, D.C. on the movie, the old Abbey Hoffman thing. And
are you on that?
Oh, yeah. That's we greensmen travel with them because sometimes if they need to hide something, it's like the easiest way to hide it is with vegetation, trees. Yep. So we have container trees because they don't date. There's no dating. You can put the trees in front of something. You don't have to, if you want to put a car in front of something, well, do we have a car that's that year?
Yep.
Or something like that. So greens are very generic.
Yep.
And we use that to hide a lot of sins on a set.
So that scene by the reflecting pool, and how many people were actually there?
There was a few hundred extras, and they just digitized them.
Yeah.
At the time, the technology, what they have, so I'm not that savvy on that end of it, but whatever technology they had, they took that group of 200 or 300 extras and pushed them out. The whole way.
Yeah.
And same with some of the jungle stuff. They just take our work and then they push it out. But all the stuff we brought South Vietnam to Fripp Island.
South Carolina.
Bob Zemeckis said, look, Dan, to my boss, he says, this isn't a movie about South Vietnam. But he says, I don't want to look like an idiot here. So just make this thing look right.
Yeah.
So that's where we went from there.
All right.
Thank you,
Kevin.
Kevin, when you were in the foxhole with Gary Sinise in that scene, why were you in there with him?
First of all, that was the mortar hole. That was where he got his legs blown off. It wasn't a foxhole. That's where the mortar hit, blew his legs off. Well, I'm the standby greensman, so I stay with production the whole time. I do everything from move plants to here to there to that, to dig holes to help. And so anyways, they had Gary Sinise, the hair, makeup, wardrobe, was everybody in there dressing Gary Sinise with the prosthetics and stuff and the blown off legs and putting the blood on. But then they want, I've got to come in and move dirt around his body to make it look like he landed, you know, like he's not just been laid in there. So I'm pushing it up over here, pushing there, sprinkling on. And the painter is adding the color to the dirt to make, because we have a guy, Dale Dye, who's a 2 or 3 tour Vietnam veteran, who's our military advisor. Bob's asked him, what would that mortar hole look like? He says, well, there'd be this color. There'd be this ochre. There'd be this color here from the blast. Different heat generates, it cooks the dirt. So they're, you know, I'm moving dirt, they're painting and all that. And then I'm sprinkle some dirt on top of them. So I'm sprinkling dirt. And the coolest thing was Gary Sinise and all this freaking like chaos. Gary Sinise was so cool. He looks up at me and goes, hey, Cap, by the way, tell him, Dan, great job on the greens. You know what I mean? And here he is. I couldn't even barely look at his legs and stuff and the wounds because they were so realistic. But it was like just one of those things. That's what we do. Shoot the scene, come back in. How's the whole look? That looks good. No more green stand, just stand out. So,
Kevin, you ended up having the role of Jenny's father in Forrest Gump, and how did that all come about for you?
Like I said, I don't know if that was a compliment or not, but we were out clearing all the poison ivy from underneath the large oak tree that would eventually be Jenny's grave site, because a lot of this stuff has to be done weeks ahead of time. So that was our deal, and we were going to pull all that poison ivy out, and we were in the process of getting ready to sod. And the assistant director, Bruce Moriarty, and second AD, Cheryl Ann Martin at the time, were driving around discussing the first AD and the second AD. Man, they spearhead all the organization when it comes to talent and extras and this and that. I mean, the first AD has to pull the whole film together. And he depends on a solid staff. And he goes to the second AD to do extras and everything else. And they were talking about bit parts that they need to film. And they were discussing, one of the things was Jenny's father. And there is this Jenny's father thing. Do we have Jenny's father yet? No, we don't. We got to get on that, because that's coming up real quick here. That's going to be one of the early scenes. And as they're pulling in, they're also discussing this, and they're visiting the different sites or sets. And they pull in there, and I was working on underneath the oak tree, and I'd actually worked with both these individuals on Back to the Future 2 and 3. And first AD just looked and he says, never mind, that's Jenny's dad right there. That's right there. And, you know, they went, perfect. I didn't even know about it. I heard about it later. I was having dinner. My boss comes in and says, so, you're going to burn the movie. What the hell are you talking about? Well, you didn't know about it yet? I go, no. He goes, oh, yeah, and it's not a good part either. I said, what? He says, you're, child molester. You're an abuser. I said, I ain't doing that shit. I'm not playing that part. He said, well, you're going to get asked about it. So anyways, they did approach me about it, and they wanted to see if I could talk with a Tennessee accent or whatever it was at the time. And I said, well, that's it. So I had to go in, and I went to a voice coach, and I read some lines, and she's that's not bad. Then I did a reading for the casting director, and next thing you know is I'm Jenny's dad. But I'm Greens on the set. I mean, so I'm in a scene that got cut out of the movie where she actually kills me. I get run over by my tractor. She puts it in gear. I mean, I had to dig my own grave site and rein it in with cotton. And some of the crew members got a big charge out of that. But chasing them through the cornfield. Remember, they told me they had a milk crate on the back porch with like a baby doll in it. Bob's making some tests. I want you to come out there and put the boot to that thing and be yelling when you come out there. And they had that junkyard dog outside the door. So that's what I did. But I kicked that freaking crate so hard the first time with those big work boots of mine. I had my own work boots on. That thing sailed out of the frame. I mean, shot. And they couldn't use heavies. They said that thing looked like a rocket. It just didn't. And the dog quit barking because, the boss says, why the dog quit barking? And the animal handler goes, well, freaking scared the shit out of him. That's why. But, Jenny's dad. What can I say? Got lonely on the farm.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much, and we'll be talking to you soon.